John 16:23 and 24. Jesus made this statement. He said, in that day, now if you look closely at what that day is, it's the day he goes to the Father. How many of you knew he has gone to the Father? That's up in verse 16. In that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, or asked nothing of the Father, according to verse 23, in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be about half empty. Just enough to get you over a little bit of depression. Always just kind of running a little depression temperature. No, your joy be full. I believe in having fullness of joy, don't you? Well, a lot of people, they just wish they had more and could enjoy some more things and so forth and so on. But Jesus said here that ask the Father. You have not because you ask not. And I'll tell you, ask what you would enjoy. Not just what you need, what you would enjoy. I'm in danger of preaching myself happy this morning. I'm really in danger. There is a high likelihood that I'm going to get sappy here. Just I'll tell you, some people, it would just do them a lot of good to just enjoy some things. I'll have to be honest with you. Their nose has been to the grindstone for so long. I've had times, in fact, it just happened the other day, the devil shouted real big and loud about some things in our lives, personally. And Debbie said, I'm going shopping. I said, good, go buy yourself a bunch of stuff, because the devil said you can't, and buy me a suit too. Praise the Lord. She came home with clothes for herself, brought nothing home for me. Can you imagine that? That's the way we roll. We just defy stuff. Within our measure of faith. We don't have any credit card debt, nothing like no none of that kind of debt, you know. So, but anyway, I don't know if some of you know how to do that, but within your measure of faith, you just need to shout. When the devil shouts, you just get louder. Just defy him. And he says you can't do something. You go, you want to watch me? You want to watch me? Hide and watch. Now, but Jesus said, ask. At verse 23, that day you ask me nothing, verily I say unto you, because they'd been asking him to talk to the Father about things. But you'll say, you'll go right to the Father yourself, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. Do you believe that? Well, then why are you saying, I wish I had this, or I wish I had that? Ask, you shall receive, that your joy might be full. There's more than we have time to get into, but let's verse 23. Verse 24, I just quoted. Ask, you shall receive, that your joy may be full. That your joy might be full. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Whew. This is chapter 15. I'm just a little stuck on that. John 15, verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Full. Praise God. How many of you know you can rejoice even whenever you don't see the fullness? But he's saying he wants you to have these things to enjoy them, is what he's saying. And to where you need to get to the kind of like my parents were this way. My parents, my mom's still with us. You know, it's like, what on earth do I get them for their birthday and for Christmas? I just can't figure out. I don't know what to do. You know, they like to go out to eat, so I give them a card to Olive Garden, you know. But they got everything and could buy anything else they wanted. How about you? Where it's just full. Amen. All right, so that's prayer. Notice back here in chapter 16, verse 23. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name. So that's prayer, isn't it? Asking of the Father. All right, so that's with that in mind, go to the 14th chapter now. Hallelujah. That verse is asking something of the Father. Now, this is John 14, verse 13 and 14. All right, let's go back to verse 12. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." So he's talking about us doing the same works that he did. Somebody said, "Well, I can't do what he did." Well, I guess Jesus must not have known what you know. He said, "The works that I do, you'll do also." And then he goes into one of the ways he does the or was doing the works. He said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, looking at that, at face value, if you don't really look at what he said, you'll think that's prayer. You'll think that's talking to the Father, asking of the Father. But if you look up the Greek word ask, it would be more accurately translated demand. Now, that's not demanding something of the Father. We don't demand of God. Amen. We lay claim to what he said is ours. You know, that's just receiving. But that's not a demand. You don't have to demand God give you anything. He's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You understand? So you don't have to get him, per se, demand him to do something. It's really a matter of receiving here. But what this passage of Scripture here is, in John chapter number 14, this word ask is the word demand. He's not talking about prayer to God. Notice he didn't say, "Whatever you shall ask in my name," or demand of the Father, I mean. He didn't say, "Whatever you shall ask or demand of the Father." He said, ask, or the Greek is demand, in my name. Did you get that? He's not talking about prayer to God here. This isn't prayer. The Father is not the one being addressed here. Amen. Can you see that? What is being addressed is the devil, the condition, the mountain, or whatever it is you're talking to. And demanding that something happen. Y'all with me? This is the use of the name to exercise our God-given authority over the devil and his activity. Now, we have an example of this in the book of Acts, the third chapter, 1 through 8. We won't read it all, but you can just write it down and read it later, or you want to turn to it now, you can. But I'm not going to take time to read it all. Acts 3, verses 1 through 8. It's the healing of the man at the gate called Beautiful. Now, the Bible says that he was sitting there, he was laid there daily, you remember. But then the Bible says in verse 6, when Peter saw him, he said, "Silver and gold have I none." Not that they didn't have any money, just they didn't have any on them. Right there. Ever been out? I went out one time, wasn't too long ago, a couple weeks ago, went in the store and got all this stuff. And went up and I thought, oh my goodness, I left my wallet at home. You ever done that? Well, it wasn't that I didn't have any money, just didn't have it on me. So he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. In the name. Now, is that what he said back here in John 14? "Whatever you demand in my name"? Is he demanding something in the name of Jesus? Yes, so what this is, what John 14 is what we see here in Acts chapter number 3. It's demand. It's not talking to the Father. It's not prayer. God's not the one that we're talking to. It is, in this case, Peter is addressing the man, and he's commanding his legs to be healed. He's commanding healing to flow into his body, and he's saying it and commanding it in the name of Jesus. It's giving the faith command. It's exercising authority. It's not talking to the Father at all. You can see that, can't you? So as we'll see, using the name of Jesus that's been given to the church is not only to be used in prayer, because the name is used in prayer. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus to receive from the Father. But it's also to be used in combat with the unseen forces that surround us. When Jesus raised from the dead, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth, didn't he? And then he said, you go therefore. You go therefore. You go in that name. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. You go in my name. You'll cast out devils, heal the sick, and raise the dead. That's talking about using and exercising the authority that he said is delegating to us. He said it was given to him. Then he's delegating it to us. And he turned around and told us to use that authority in that name. Isn't that right? And so we use that authority to carry out his will down here on the earth. What we're doing is we're using the power of attorney in his absence. You realize that when he was here, he did these things. And we're going to look at some of the ways he operated. Well, the main one, we're going to look at this way he operated. But when he was here, he did these things. But the difference is now we do them using the power of attorney given to us by when his name was given to us. And we exercise the authority and we give the command through that delegated authority and things must obey us. Amen. Amen. The reason we can do that's because we have standing before the devil, the same standing before the devil in the circumstances of life that Jesus had, and that he could command them and they would obey him. Are you still out there? And so if we're going to do his works, remember we read verse 12 there in chapter 14. If we're going to do his works, the works that I do, you'll do also, then we're going to do them the same way he did them. How'd he do them? Well, primarily through this authority. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. There are several ways, but we'll get to that here in a minute. Now, let's go to the other. That was one passage of scripture. I'm using John 14 and John 16 together to talk about the two different flows of faith. One is praying to the Father. One is speaking, using your authority. Now let's go to another passage, Mark 11, 22 through 24. Anybody heard of that passage? Mark 11, 22 through 24. 22 through 24. Let's turn there. Don't just listen to it by memory. Turn there. Verse 22, Jesus answering, said unto them, have faith in God. All right, so he's going to talk about faith. Have the God kind of faith, the faith which God gives. Have faith in God. All right, verse 23, for verily I say unto you, talking about this faith, whosoever shall say to God, move this mountain. Did I quote something wrong? Some of you would have let me preach wrong doctrine. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to God. Huh? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. So you're not talking to God here, are you? Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 23 is not prayer. It's demanding and commanding something in the authority we've been given or delegated. We're not praying to the Father. We're not talking to the Father here about the mountain. We're not asking him to do anything about the mountain. We're talking to the mountain. Amen. Praise God. So, now, I want you to see verse 24 then. Therefore, I say unto you, because he said, have faith in God. And he gave us one flow of faith in verse 23, through exercising authority through our faith. Then he said in verse 24, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. So now he's talking about prayer to God. Yes. Believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Isn't that right? Verse 24 is prayer. Verse 23 is another flow of faith, but it's not prayer. You're not talking to God. Verse number 23. Isn't that right? So, in a nutshell, in verse 23 now, Jesus is saying, talk to things because they'll obey you. Amen. Amen. And talk to them like they will. Now, this is a flow of faith. A lot of people, there's a lot of Christians that are comfortable with the flow of faith talking to God. But when it comes to talking to things, I'm not crazy. Because they think people like that are nuts. They're off their rocker. Something's wrong with them. Well, you just accused Jesus of having something wrong with him. Amen. Now, so because he's the one that said, do this, and he did it. He did this many times. We'll look at that. But for time's sake, let's go to this last one, Matthew 18, and get this one before we go any further. Same situation here in Matthew 18 as we saw in John 14 and 16 together, as we saw in Mark 11, 23 and 24 together. We're going to see the same thing here. One flow of faith is prayer. One flow of faith is not prayer at all, not talking to God at all. Matthew 18, let's start in verse number 18 and read verse number 19. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now that's not prayer there, is it? It's binding and loosing. Then verse 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask. Ask. He's talking about talking to the Father. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So he's talking about asking the Father in heaven and it'll be done. So, the verse number 18 isn't prayer, is it? That's not prayer. Verse number 18 is the same thing as Mark 11, 23 and the same thing as John 14. It's speaking and commanding and exercising authority. Can you say amen? Notice in all three of these passages, the Spirit of God is saying something to us. That there are two sides to faith. One is prayer, and that's talking to God, of course. The other is authority over the enemy. And you're not talking to God, you're talking to the devil. Amen. Amen. Prayer has its place. Prayer has a job description, and it'll do what it's supposed to do. But the job description of prayer is different than the job description of our authority. Prayer is bringing God on the scene. Authority is removing Satan from the scene. I'm going to say this very succinctly, and I want you to catch it. Prayer is bringing God on the scene, or God's power on the scene. Authority is removing Satan's power or influence from the scene. We pray to receive from God. We exercise authority to remove the enemy. We don't pray to God to do something about the enemy. Amen. Or to remove the enemy. We enter into, to enter into this flow, you must enter into, in other words, the flow of removing the authority of Satan, the flow of removing Satan from the scene, you got to enter into the flow of authority rather than the flow of praying to God to do something. Amen. If you want to understand what we're talking about, is you can't pray the devil away. Let me ask you a question. And just see if this makes any more sense if I say it this way. If you are making lunch this afternoon, and you put some things on the table and you go into the kitchen for a few minutes, come back out, and the cat's up on the table eating something that you put on the table. What are they getting ready to hear? The voice of authority. Isn't that right? Now, let me ask you a question. If that cat jumps on the table, and your response is, you go into the, and you see it, and your response is, you go into the living room and you say, you wives, and say to your husbands, the cat's eating the kitchen, the lunch on the table. I want you to know what it's eating. It's eating this dish right now. And it's being consumed, and if that cat doesn't stop, then we're not going to have any lunch. Well, we're laughing, but why do people do that in the circumstances of life? The devil jumps in an area of their life, starts destroying it, and they go to God. God, the devil's this and the devil's that. Is that cat going to respond to you, even though it can hear you talking to your husband? Huh? Is it going to respond to the fact she's over there talking to him about me? Is it? No. How many of you know your animals can they don't know how, they don't know what you're saying, but they can get an idea by a couple words they're used to? Our cat knows her name. She knows a couple of words. She can tell a little bit by what few words she knows. I can say, go outside, and she'll run to the door. There's a few words she figured out. That means this, you know. And so she can hear you over there talking. But that doesn't mean she's going to do anything about what she's eating. You tell the husband all the details of how bad it is, and it's now it's got his slobber and goober all over the chicken, and what's it going to respond to, that or the voice of authority? Selah. There's many people praying to God about things, and they keep on persisting because the thing has not heard the voice of authority. Hallelujah. They've heard the voice of man talking to God about it, but that doesn't mean they're doing anything out of because it has to hear the voice of authority. That's why things persist. Hello. Now I went ahead and started preaching. So there are two different flows of faith. Isn't that right? Now, too often the church world and Christians are sort of like a one-trick pony. They only know one flow of faith. They got a little bit of revelation, but they never move beyond their first revelation. You understand? But there are different flows of faith because there are different jobs that need to be done at different times, and they each require a different tool. It'd be like a carpenter or a home builder or somebody that builds houses, and he comes to build the house, and he's got a toolbox, and you open it up, all it is a screwdriver in there. He's trying to use that one tool to build that whole house. There's going to be plumbing. There's going to be pounding nails. There's going to be pouring concrete. He needs concrete trowels. He needs all kinds of stuff. Isn't that right? And so there's got to be an awareness of the different tools and which one is to be used at different times. Hallelujah. There are different flows of faith. And so prayer is to receive from God. Authority is to win battles. I heard a story about a pastor. I've heard this story from several different sources, and all of it comes back the same way. This pastor was flying somewhere, and something happened, and the plane wasn't, you know, something happened, one of the engines or something. I guess both engines weren't working or something. And the co-pilot came back and said, "We're going down." And there were six people in the plane. Four of them started praying to God. Two of them, actually, they were praying in tongues. Bible says, "When he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God." We don't bind the devil in tongues. Bible said he doesn't understand what we're saying. But we talk to God. When we pray in tongues, we're talking to God. So four of them prayed in tongues, started praying, talking to God. Two of them exercised authority and commanded death to take its hands off of their life in the name of Jesus. Are you following me? And the only two that lived were the two that took authority. Hello? That's insight, isn't it? Prayer is right. Prayer has its place. Prayer has its job description. There's a place for prayer. There's a time for prayer. Isn't that right? There's a time it's supposed to be used. But that's not the only tool in our toolbox, because God knew that we were going to need some other things. Amen. So, we're supposed to use all these things and become familiar and acquainted with all these things. And too often people, they're not skillful in the flow of authority. I've pastored for a long time, so I can speak from working with many, many people over the years here, many other places before we got here. And there's a lot of people that if you ask them, what did you address the force of darkness behind that? No. It's because it's not a flow that let's put it this way, they're not that aware of that flow. They're not comfortable with authority. Amen. I said they're not comfortable with authority. It feels different. They're not practiced or skillful in that flow. So it feels insignificant to the circumstances you're experiencing sometimes, but the Word of God says it is significant. Amen. I had an experience along this line. I've had many, but just one that came to my mind when I was preparing this. I think I told a little bit about it. Recently, I was around some relatives that needed to go have a meeting with another relative who was known to blow up and could get very angry, especially having to talk about the certain kind of thing we had to talk about. And so they didn't like what we had to say. And the relatives that I was talking to before we went, a couple of my relatives and I went, the other relatives said, we need to really pray. This could go really bad and so forth and so on. And they all prayed and were asking God for different things. And everybody there that day was praying. And so it got to me, and I said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you. Because this thing was an evil spirit, you know, you could tell. You've been around people like that. I bind you and forbid you to operate in the name of Jesus in this meeting. And I exercised authority. We went into that, and, people said amen. We went into that meeting, and it was as if heaven did come down. The anointing fell on that meeting. And this person was praising God and worshiping God and talking about the glory of God. I mean, as the Holy Ghost came on that person and all of us just came. It was a glorious meeting. And the goal was accomplished and what was said needed to be said and agreed to, you know, with grace, and everybody was happy. Everybody left happy and all that. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Anyway, we came back to the other relatives after the meeting, and they're all cringing like, how'd it go? We said, the glory fell. Yeah. The glory fell. Yeah. And we told them everything, and everybody was relieved, and because it had to be said, but some decisions had to be made, but it wasn't going to go easy in their mind and so forth, and everybody's relieved. And after everybody talked it out a little bit, my brother turned to me and looked at me, and he said, I saw what you did there. I said, good. I said, good. Hello. They had been praying and getting nothing except explosions. You understand what I'm talking about? And my brother said, I saw what you did there. In other words, he made a note of it and said, I'm learning to do this. Hello. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, we're learning. There's a tool of prayer in our toolbox, but there's a tool of exercising authority. In fact, I'll be honest, after I left and they went back to their way of doing it, they start having their trouble again. Well, they saw it. But see, this is not a flow of faith people are comfortable with. Can I just stick with that for a moment? We got to become accustomed to this flow of faith. There are many, many, many Christians who are much more comfortable praying than they are exercising authority over the devil. But this exercise of authority by faith belongs to them just as much as their right to access the throne of grace. Remember Hebrews 4:16, come boldly to the throne of grace. That's our right and that's our privilege. We have that right and standing before God, and we can exercise that. But we also have authority over the devil. We don't exercise authority over God. We exercise authority over the devil. Isn't that right? And so we've got to become comfortable with this and get our minds renewed to it. Amen. And so... somehow or another, exercising authority is an uncomfortable and even a foreign flow to many otherwise good Christians. Now, I've pastored for a long time, and I know that. If I were to do a survey right now of anybody that was asking for prayer about certain things, and I said, okay, because you can see the forces of darkness trying to push things a certain way here. If I said, have you exercised authority over that, I wouldn't want to do it because so many people that I would ask that would be embarrassed. Amen. I was thinking about this last night, and I'm absolutely convinced, because when it comes to the natural things of this life, you know, we have a covenant that God's going to take care of us financially. And I'm convinced, absolutely, after I got done preparing last night and went to bed, it came up in my heart, I'm 100% convinced that we're enjoying what we're enjoying. My wife and I are enjoying what we're enjoying because of the authority of the believer. 100% convinced of it. 100% convinced of it. I know there's other things, but if it wasn't for this, we would not be enjoying what we're enjoying. Because so many times I could see things going another way. Quickly. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? I could see them going another way. And we would stand together in faith and say, now, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you take your hands off our finances. I've seen it in our personal lives. I've seen it in this church. I've seen it in the daycare. I've seen it at J. Everly Ministries, different times. But see, we didn't just stand there and say, oh, God, do something, Father. We exercised authority. Are you with me? Listen, Adam and Eve were in the garden given everything. Isn't that right? But they were also given authority over it all, because God knew, although he gave them everything richly here to enjoy in this life, if he didn't give them authority, and they did not have the authority over the enemy and over the things that he gave them to call them and tell the enemy take his hands off of them and call it and command it to come, that life would not be as God intended on this earth. The one who's here to steal, kill, and destroy would be operating against them, and they still would not enjoy it, even though it's all around them. And that's the way believers are today so many times. God gave them all these things. They're all around them to enjoy. Amen. But he gave you authority because it's the enemy who wants to steal those things from you. And you can go through this whole life with blessings all around you, and yet you're not enjoying them. You understand what I'm talking about? Now, God do this, God do that. Well, really, he already did. Do you realize when it comes to finances, to praying to God about money that's already down here is a futile exercise? Because he's not going to send any out of heaven. You ever thought about that? He's not going to send it out of heaven. He's not a counterfeiter. He doesn't send $100 bills out of heaven. It's already down here. Isn't that right? So he's not going to send any. Satan's the one that's holding it from you. Boy, if we could get that to sink in. Tell your neighbor, I'm letting this sink in. I'm letting this sink in. It's Satan that holds these things from people. Amen. And they've got to learn to exercise authority over Satan. And really command the money to come. Command the money to come. I'm convinced the reason God let Adam name the animals is so he could command them to come. Amen. And so we've also got to learn to charge the angels, and we understand that. But so many folks haven't learned to do this. Listen, if I start asking you this, if I start asking you this, be ready. Because I might ask you, have you exercised authority over the one keeping it from you? See, the problem is not God. Talking to God about money really is something I can't remember the last time I did it. I don't know when the last time you did it was. I'm not here to examine you. I'm examining me. I was thinking about this last night. I don't remember the last time I talked to God about money. It's been so long ago. Amen. Are you still out there? Because he's not my problem. He's not withholding. No good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing. No good thing. Praise God. So my problem's not God. It's not that he won't give it to me because I'm not good enough yet. All you got to do is ask yourself one question. Are you good? If you were to die right now, are you good enough to go to heaven? Yeah. Well, what's wrong with having some heaven here on earth then? Come on. Heaven on earth. Praise the Lord. See, it's not on our merits. I'm not preaching just living in the flesh, but I mean, you got to forgive yourself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, a lot of times people just drift along, hoping things will eventually change, hoping things will eventually get better. But they don't remember that the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There are forces of darkness that are opposing us. Amen. That's absolutely the truth. And that we are to exercise our authority over those forces. And so we need to learn to not only talk to God, we need to learn to talk to the enemy. Have you been accustomed? Are you accustomed to talking to the enemy? Are you accustomed to talking to finances? Are you accustomed to talking to your body? All those things. Are you accustomed to talking to thoughts? You need to get accustomed to talking to thoughts. When thoughts come that you know are not right and that don't belong in your mind, either they're immoral or in fear or unbelief or worry or something like that, it's not okay to just say, well, I'm not going to think that. No, you lift your voice, open your mouth, and answer it like Jesus did in Luke 4 and said, it is written. He was talking to thoughts. Amen. I said he was talking to thoughts. But people just drift along hoping it'll eventually get better. But learn to talk to things. Learn to talk to things. Amen. So people talk to God about their finances, but he's not their problem. Remember how Jesus dealt with Brother Hagin? He was talking to God about his finances. And he said, I'm not your problem. You remember that? He said, everything you need is already down there. You're talking to me like I'm going to have to send some, and I'm not a counterfeiter. I don't send money out of heaven. Everything you need's down there. You know it is. I said it is. Everything you need's down there. He said, now here's the way you deal with this. It's Satan who's the god of this world through what Adam gave him authority, you know. And he's the one opposing you. He's the one holding these things back from you. You tell Satan to take his hands off. You claim what you need. Tell Satan to take his hands off your money. And then you charge the angels to go and come. You know none of that. And then you praise God. None of that is talking to God about money. You understand what I'm talking about? Too often, though, people just wait for the devil to kind of say uncle, decide he's not going to mess with them anymore. Well, he's not going to decide that. You're going to have to command him to be removed from the situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I've been praying about it and nothing's been happening. Well, I stopped praying a long time ago about money and it's working for me. Is it working for you? Let's do something that works. I said, let's do something that works. Now, let's go look at Jesus' life, because we said, Jesus said, the works I do, you'll do also, and greater works than these you'll do. Isn't that what he said? And so, we want to look at him and see how he did this. Go to Mark chapter number 4. How did Jesus do these works? Because if we're going to do the works, we're going to do them the same way he did them. And there are a number of ways he did it. He did it through the anointing and so forth and so on. He did it through, in one sense of the word, praying, but not really in the way people think. He would just get in the presence of God and fellowship with his Father, and he would see what to do, and then he'd just go out and do it. He said, I just do what I see my Father do. I just say what I hear my Father say. And that's one way. But here's something I want to spend some time on this morning. Another way he did the works. This is in Mark chapter number 4. Let's start reading in verse number 36. It says, when he had sent away the multitude, they take him, even as he was, in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full, or the margin says filling up. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and prayed and said, God, we're sinking. Do something. He arose. Notice verse 37. And there arose a great storm. Verse 39. And he arose. If something comes up, you got to get up. But what do you do when you get up? Pray to God? Well, this situation required a different tool. You know, I'll be honest with you, if you look at chapter 5, he's going across the sea and he's about to encounter the madman of Gadara, full of devils. Remember that? 2000, I believe it was. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jesus just to confirm it. I want you to stand there. I want you to hear what he says. But when I ask Jesus, was that demon in that madman of Gadara stirring up that storm to try to keep you from getting over there? I'm convinced in my heart, Bible doesn't say so, but I'm convinced in my heart that it was, that demon force stirring up that storm. Amen. But even if it wasn't, he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, said to God? He said to God? No. Did he say something to God about the sea? No, he spoke to the sea. He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Well, you know, wind and waves can't hear. They must have. They ceased, and they quit. The wind quit blowing. The waves quit doing what they were doing. I'm sure there are people that say, just a coincidence. Well, we'll read this, what Jesus did here in other cases, and it couldn't be a coincidence every single time. I mean, the apostles must not have thought it was a coincidence. And look at verse number 40. He said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Look at verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They knew it wasn't a coincidence. I mean, if you don't know for sure because you weren't there, take the word of somebody that was there. They went, what kind of person is he? They put it together. They knew exactly what happened. Ooh, glory to God. Now, would you have thought to do that? What would you have done? You know, God, help us. Jesus pulled the right tool out of the toolbox that day, didn't he? He pulled the right one out. He didn't pray to God. He spoke to the storm. Now notice, what manner of man is this? Well, let's ask the question. What kind of man was he? Someone said he was God in the flesh. Yeah, we understand that. But in the context of this question, in this setting, what kind of man was he? He's a commanding man. He's a man that could command and things obey him. Oh, but somebody said, yeah, but that was Jesus. Jesus must not have thought so. After it was all over, he said, where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, why'd you get me awake? I was having a good nap. In my dream, God was showing me to do with the madman of Gadara. I mean, you know, I made that up. I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about. Now, in Mark 11, 23, Jesus, actually, we read 22, 23, 24. The context of that is Jesus cursing the fig tree. And in that case, they said, look, the fig tree you curse is withered away. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say. So, Jesus didn't think, because people say, well, that was Jesus, he could do that. He didn't think that he was the only one that could do that. Because whenever he cursed the fig tree and they pointed it out to him, he said, have faith in God. He wasn't talking about, I have faith in God. He had faith, all right, but he was telling them, you do this. Whosoever shall say unto. Well, I tried that and it didn't work, Pastor Jay. It don't work by trying. It works by doing it. Well, praise the Lord. I would, if I had a preference, I'd preach on authority of the believer for the rest of the year. Because this message is dying out in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So what manner of man is this? A commanding man. And Jesus is basically saying in verse 23 of Mark 11, you are too. Say to this. Say something to the circumstances of life. Say something to what's trying to block you. And command it. Tell it what to do. Well, what do I tell it what to do? Okay, go to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter 7 is another illustration of this. When we read this chapter or read this passage, we're reading about the military man, the centurion, in the Roman military. Let's start in verse 1. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent these men unto him, the elders of the Jews, that is, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, hath built us a synagogue. Isn't that an interesting thing? This is an occupying force. The Roman army is an occupying force in Judea at that time. And this is a military man in that occupying force. And he either was converted to be a Jew or something. And he loved the Jewish people. And he gave enough money to build a synagogue. Wow. That's neat. So his heart is open, isn't it? You can see his heart is open. So Jesus, look at verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Well, he was, but notice what he did say. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Now, listen why he said that. Listen to what his thinking is. Verse 8, for I also, circle also, because that's a big word. I also am a man set under authority. In other words, just like you. He's talking to Jesus. I know how you're doing this. It's all through authority. I also, just like you, Jesus, I'm a man under authority. He's under, the centurion's under military authority in the Roman government. Jesus is under the authority of his Father in heaven. I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. In other words, because of that, I don't think it's adding anything to say that. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Why? Because of authority. Not just having it, but speaking under that authority. I say to my servant, or I say to my soldier under me, go, and he goes, come, and he comes, to another, to my servant, do this, and he does it. While Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that follow him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I think maybe this is another reason people struggle on this level, because this is a greater faith. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, the Bible just went in Luke's account. It says they that were sent returned to the house found their servant whole that had been sick. If you read Matthew's account, he basically tells them, go your way, as you said, it's done. So, Jesus marveled at this man's faith. Now, let's examine this a little bit. Are you ready? He's saying, I'm in the military. Right? I understand submission and authority. It works by saying. By the way, Romans 5:17. They that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Anybody in here, that you? I've received, you have too. Abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness. I know this is a little bit slower teaching today, but the Lord just put this in my heart. They that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they'll reign in life by one, Christ Jesus. Every other translation that I remember ever looking up says reign as a king. Reign as a king in life. reign as a king. How does a king reign? By decreeing, giving commands, charging things that they be done. Isn't that right? Amen. By issuing orders. Amen. Well, I just believe God's sovereign and He's running everything. Well, then you don't understand redemption. Amen. Redemption got us our authority back. Notice Romans 5:17 didn't say, they that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, God will reign in their life. Well, we understand God reigns as we submit ourselves to Him. That's not necessarily wrong, but that's not what that verse said. They will reign. They will reign. There's things people are waiting on God to do or trying to ask God to do that God's waiting on them to do. Give the command. God's saying, give the command. Order it to obey you. But see, hey, I don't know if I can do that. Well, of course not. You said so. I say I can, and it works for me. Some of you didn't get that. You're looking at me funny. Amen. You'll have what you say. You really can do it if you will. It's uncomfortable. It's not something people are used to so often. I know I've pastored for 18 years. Have you bound the devil? No. Amen. Well, praise God. Everybody's still happy you came, right? Hallelujah. I understand authority, he's saying. I'm a military man. I understand submission and authority. I know how it works. It works by saying. And this is what it'll do. It'll cause things to go. Or people. It'll cause things to come. You can say, do this, and it'll obey you. And I see you're operating under the authority of your Father. He's talking to Jesus. I see you're operating under the authority of your Father. You just say it. You just say it. And my servant will be healed. That's all you got to do. You use that authority, you say it, and my servant will be healed. I recognize you're operating under that kind of authority. Jesus said, great faith. Amen. No prayer. We don't have record. We've got this in Matthew and Luke. Luke and Matthew both record it. We don't have record that Jesus prayed a lick. Didn't pray a lick. Anybody know what praying a lick means? He didn't pray a lick. He didn't lay hands on him. In fact, the servant wasn't even there. The servant's at a distance. He's off somewhere else. That'd tell you authority will work at a distance. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've made it work at a distance. Hallelujah. I've made it work all the way across the Atlantic Ocean into Nigeria. I was praying. This was about a couple months ago. I was praying about some things, and I was charging. I knew some things the Lord wanted to do, and I was charging Satan, that thing trying to oppose the work in Nigeria to hold back the finance. I was charging it. Take your hands off of it, the money. Go, ministering spirits. I called up Pastor Ike just a little bit later. He said, "Woo, man, something happened over here." Amen. The other day, of course, they've been in quarantine. You know, they don't allow over there, they don't allow them to meet either. I think haven't heard that they've stopped it yet. But anyway, he said, they just said, well, we're going to claim what we need anyhow. God didn't say it's based on whether you have church or not. Amen. So they claimed, they did the word. And some guy called him up from Lagos that he had never met. He said, I still haven't met him. I don't know if I'd see him. I don't even know if I'd know who he was. Called him up and said, a number of months ago, you were a minister not in California, and it was live stream, and I tuned in and watched it, and boy, I got some help and some answers. He said, I'm going to send you an offering. He said the offering he sent was as much as comes in normally in a whole month of church. A whole month. I said, praise the Lord. Boy, I wish I could get that to work for me. It doesn't work by wishing. Amen. You know, a police officer doesn't have to feel like he has authority, but he can put on the uniform, put on the badge, put on the gun, get his billy club, put his hat on, the seal of authority of the state of Iowa, walk out there on duty, blow his whistle, raise his hand, and stop traffic. And he can feel like, I don't have a bit of authority. My wife won't listen to me. My kids won't listen to me. But he has authority, and he can hold up his hand, and that traffic will obey him. That's not his power that makes that traffic stop. He can't physically hold that back. But the authority that he has holds that back. Well, I'm just not very strong. You don't have to be strong. You have to exercise authority. Woo, glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Great faith. No prayer, no laying on of hands. Just a command under the authority of heaven. Jesus operated that way on the barren fig tree, which, by the way, represented to him lack. He spoke to lack and told it to die. He's basically saying, that's a dead tree in your life for forever. This is a dead tree in my life forever. Yes. Glory to God. He did it to wind. He spoke to wind. He did it to waves. In Luke 4, 38 through 39, he spoke to a fever. Remember Peter's mother-in-law? They besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever. Didn't pray a lick. Didn't lay hands on her. Just simply spoke to it. How do you rebuke something? Well, how do you rebuke that cat on the kitchen table? What do you do? I mean, do you kick? Do you punch? What do you do? No? Well, you might do all that, but you're going to use your words. You're going to use your words. Hallelujah. Say what this military man said. Say this after me. I understand. Submission and authority. Amen. Do you realize you're also under the authority of your father? Yes. I understand. Again, say it. I understand. Submission and authority. It works by me saying. Whew, I can feel faith rising up in the house. Faith rising up in the house. Hallelujah. Authority, then, according to this passage, allows you to tell things to come, allows you to tell things to go, allows you to tell things what to do. Now, not people. We don't have authority over people, but we do have authority over forces that influence people if it affects us. If it affects us. We got authority there. So we got authority to allow things to tell things to come, tell things to go, tell things to start, tell things to stop, tell things to go a different direction, forbid things, allow things, command things to come to pass, set things in motion. We got authority to do all of that. Remember what the Lord said to me whenever I walked into the, we were getting ready one time years ago, one morning, and I walked over to where Debbie, we were in a pastor's home, and it was kind of a small home, and we were getting ready in two different rooms. Because she hogs the mirror for so long. I needed a mirror. So she sure is pretty, though, isn't she? Whew, I got out of that one. But so I'm over there, and I'm just thinking about people were talking about airplanes and something. I walked over to Pastor Debbie's room, and I said, I don't think I ever am interested in getting an airplane, you know. And remember that time I said that? And I walked back over to my room in front of my mirror, and I'm finishing, and the Lord said, what did I call you to do? And I wasn't sure where he was going at first. Well, called to be a saint. And he said, in ministry, I said, well, travel. If you be willing and obedient, what did I say you would have if you be willing and obedient? I said, you'd eat the good of the land. I'd eat the good of the land. He said, well, what's the good of the land traveling? Boy, he had me. I said, oh, I get it. I said, it's our own private air jet. I had to correct myself mid-sentence. I said, jet. Amen. See, some people get quiet. They're like, 15 more minutes of this and we're out of here. He said, if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll be able to fly in your own jet. And he said, don't set anything else in motion now. Remember? I've shared that many times. What was he saying? My words were going to start setting something in motion. And that's why I said here, your words can cause things to go, cause things to come, start, cause things to be started, to cause things to stop. Go a different direction. Amen. And you can also bring things to pass. Set things in motion. See, what if in the years to come you want to be at a certain place? Let's say you want to retire and you want to have $2 million in the bank and you want to have this and have your house paid off, so forth and so on. Well, start saying that now. Set it in motion. Well, there's a thought. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. One translation says whatever you forbid. For bind, it says whatever you forbid. Forbid some things. How do I forbid it? Say, no, not here, not on my watch. No, sir. No, it's not permitted in the name of Jesus. I bind that. I resist that. Command that to stop with the authority of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. See, you've got to learn to master your tongue. If you don't master your tongue, you'll never be able to master the circumstances of life. Master your tongue. Say the right things. Amen. Be like a king reigning. Learn how to sit on your throne and make a decree. You see, it takes training to operate in reigning. Training for reigning. Tell your neighbor, we're in training for reigning. Hallelujah. Now, the new birth got our authority back and got our commanding back. Redemption gives us the authority to have what we say. Don't wait on God. Well, whatever, if God will command it to stop, then it'll stop. No, he won't command it to stop. The Bible says, say not in your heart, who shall ascend up to heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up him from the dead. In other words, what is it? Thy word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Thy mouth, thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. You getting it this morning? So the new birth got us that authority back. But a lot of times people are like the children of Israel. They escaped or were delivered from Egypt's slavery, remember? Which the Bible says is a type of us. And they were free, but because they had been under Egyptian slavery for 400 years. And listen to what that means when I say, because that's a type. Pharaoh's a type of the devil. Did you know that? The New Testament uses them being delivered from Egypt as a type of us being delivered from Satan's kingdom. We came through the Red Sea. That's a type of baptism in water. And we're led of the Spirit. That's a type of that cloud. And so they had been under Egyptian slavery for 400 years. And you know, and listen, not they weren't free people. They were slaves for 400 years. And they had an evil tyrant over them, enforcing their financial condition, their status in the nation, every condition of their lives was being imposed upon them against their will, which is an evil thing. Slavery is one of the most ungodly things you can ever. Thank God this nation woke up. Amen. But these people were under Egyptian slavery, and it was a type of us being under Satan's bondage. You know, under his kingdom, he bossed us around and pushed us around with all his curse and poverty and all his stuff. And so they in Egypt were not used to making life happen for them on purpose. They were used to life being imposed upon them against their will. And that's the way we were. We were not used to being able to make things happen with authority. Everything was imposed upon us. I mean, we tried to get out of poverty. We tried to get out of bondage and mental torment and so forth and so on. We used pills and all kinds of stuff. And it just wasn't fixing it, so many of us. And so whenever they came out, they're out of slavery bondage, but they are still with a mindset. They didn't have the mindset of authority to make things happen on purpose. So they got to Kadesh Barnea, sent in the spies, and they flunked the test of Kadesh Barnea and got in unbelief and actually wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They were saved in type. You understand the typology here. They were saved. They were delivered from life being imposed upon them against their will, but they had never renewed their mind to the authority they now had. You realize that. And you can get saved and sit in religious teachings that just simply say, well, pray, and, you know, God won't put more on you than you can handle. You ever heard that one? I heard it the other day. It's people say things that aren't even in the Bible. Number one, he's not putting these things on you. It's Satan, the god of this world, that's trying these things. And just pray and see what God will do for you. You never can tell what God's going to do. All these strange ideas because of one revelation they've lacked, and that is the authority of the believer. Of one revelation, the authority of the believer. So they live free. I mean, God's delivered them is what I'm saying. But they live bound. They're free, but they live bound. Because they've set under wrong teachings. You understand? And religion won't teach you to rule and reign. Religion will keep you bound under Satan's power. Keep you praying to God to do something about whenever he put the authority in your hands. Amen. I'm preaching pretty good. Say amen. Amen. If God put the authority in your hands, prayer to God to do something about your situation is an abdication of your authority. What does it mean, abdication? It means to give up a throne or relinquish power or claim to power or something like that. And so prayer is not exercising authority. Prayer has its place. I talk to God all the time. I pray, you understand, but not about these things the devil's doing. Amen? In other words, when you and I pray, we're not exercising authority. We're talking things over with God. Amen. And this is where people need to make some changes. Amen. There are some things prayer won't fix. Hear me on that. There are some things prayer won't fix. Only authority will fix. You're in charge. I said, you're in charge. Don't call God. Wait a minute. Okay, let me illustrate. When the mayor or a city council or the authorities in a city, this would be true with a state or even the federal level, when they swear in a policeman, they charge him with upholding the laws of the state or city, whatever, you know. They swear in a policeman, and someone calls that a crime is being committed somewhere, and that policeman shows up on the job and shows up with the crime and sees what's happening and quickly calls the mayor, there's a crime down here happening, do something. Who did he put in, the mayor or the city council, who did they put in charge? The police. I said they put the police in charge. Isn't that right? I said, isn't that right? Authority, you're the one in charge. I don't know if you were sleeping through the deputizing ceremony or what, but I'm here to tell you, after you're born again, Jesus said, raise your right hand. I swear to uphold the word. I swear to be one in authority, bringing to pass the will of God on the earth. I now am deputized. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me, and I deputize you. You go. In my authority is what he's saying. You go. And whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loosed. And so basically he's saying, don't call me. Amen. Oh, it's getting clear, isn't it? There are many Christians that are much more comfortable calling God. God, do something. Well, he did. He gave you authority. Hallelujah. It's wrong thinking to call God to do something when he's delegated the authority to us. What if the policeman showed up on the job? I mean, I'm talking about on the job where there's a crime being committed. He shows up, and he's got his whistles blaring and everything, and he sees the crime. He's serving, and he goes into his cruiser, and he bows his head and said, God, do something about this. How many of you know God's going to say, I did. Get out of the car. Amen. Pull your pistol. Get it done down there, young man. Amen. Can you see what I'm saying? Prayer is not a cure-all. It sounds like I'm preaching against prayer today. No, I'm not. You've heard the balance whenever we preach on Wednesday nights. You've heard the balance of the other side of some things. I'm just simply saying in the situations where Satan is ruling and Satan is doing something, it doesn't call for prayer. It calls for authority. Amen. Amen. We've got to be renewed in our mind that we have authority. Now, and we've got to be aware of it. We've got to live conscious of it. Now, to be conscious of it, there's two things. You've got to, number one, you've got to renew your mind. All of us must do this. Renew our minds to the Word of God. And keep meditating on these truths. But then you got to go one step further. Exercise it. The reality of your authority stays real strong as you keep exercising it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. A lot of Christians still walk a lot in their natural minds. They, in other words, what I mean by that is not real to them that the forces that are opposing them are in the spirit realm. They just think that's excess and fanaticism and so forth and so on. Well, Jesus didn't think that. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. 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 But it must become real, and it must become real to the point that you're aware that it'll have a huge effect on the outcome of the natural circumstances of life. Well, this is just natural. Oh, is it? The Lord said to me one time, you got to understand, all battles are spiritual at its core. In other words, there's things in the spirit realm affecting it, if, you know, going the right way or the wrong way. Amen? So learn to talk not only to God, but learn to talk to the enemy. And we're learning to do that. Praise God. Did you get anything out of the Word this morning? Thank you, Lord. So prayer won't take the place of exercising authority. Praise God. You won't forget the cat illustration, will you? The devil will be fine just listening to you talk to God about everything he's doing. He's fine with that. Fine. Keep on talking. Keep on talking. You talk to God some more. You talk to God some more. See, he wants to keep working while you're talking to God. But as soon as you say, in the name, he goes, whoa, whoa. Somebody found out who they are. Woo. He recognizes authority. He has to, because Jesus defeated him. And split his head open by a kick in the head before he came out of hell. Glory to God. So when you say in the name, you're using the name of the one who defeated him. And you are authorized to do it. Hallelujah. How long are we going to put up with stuff? Anybody done? How about fear? How long are we going to put up with those harassing yakety yak yak? How long are we going to put up with, well, you're just so unworthy? How long are we going to put up with a victim mentality? Let's stand to our feet. How long are we going to put up with, well, we never have been, you know, very well off financially. Our family's always been poor, you know, I don't have much education. See, that's what I meant when I said people are just natural thinking. Natural thinking. Hallelujah. It's not who you are in the flesh, it's who you are in Christ. Satan doesn't mind who you and I are in the flesh. We could have the most royal blood from the Queen of England in us or something, you know. I mean, and he doesn't care. It's who we are in the Spirit. That's what he pays attention to. Hallelujah. 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 Say it out loud. I have been delegated authority over the forces of darkness in the name of Jesus. I have that authority now. I'm not going to get it. I already have it. I have been deputized by the head of the church to carry out the will of heaven on the earth and in my life. I have the authority to enforce the will of God and command Satan to go, and command when I need to come, and things will obey me in the name of Jesus. Not because of who I am, but because of who I am in Christ. I exercise that authority and things obey me. Amen. Amen. Have you ever read the Bible? Resist the devil and he'll flee from Jesus? No, he'll flee from you. Now, we understand Jesus put us in this place of authority. So we're not trying to say he has nothing to do with it. But I'm saying it's up to us to exercise that authority. Whenever we say go, it goes. Hallelujah. You don't get that at the university. You don't get that down at the business school. We need all these things, training and so forth, but we need to know the authority of the believer. We need to know things will obey us. Praise the Lord. Anybody got anything you need to command before you go this morning? Anybody? Just go ahead and do it. I mean, the time to do it is when the revelation's fresh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and command it. If it's physical sickness that's afflicting you, command it to take its hands off of you. In Jesus' name. Now, don't do it like you're begging it to leave you alone. Do it like you're addressing the cat on the kitchen table. Amen. You're not going to ask that cat to leave. You're going to command it. You're going to stomp your foot and say no. Hallelujah. 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 Whatever we forbid is forbidden right now. Whatever you're forbidding, whatever you're saying stop, it's stopping right now. Whatever you're saying, this you can't do this anymore, get out of my life, it's leaving your life. When you're saying, I command those harassing thoughts to go, they go right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. 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 Some of you are almost done. We're just giving you a moment to do it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Do you realize that those in authority don't need to scream? If you've trained your parents, if you've trained your children to not listen to you until you're screaming, you don't know your authority. Amen. Just say no. Don't do that. Train them to respond to that. Amen. Satan, you're an authority. Listen, a policeman, if he's pulling somebody over and he tells them to do something, he doesn't have to lift his voice. He's an authority. Amen. And so you need to get to the place where it's not the loudness of your voice, it's the firmness of your conviction. It's the firmness and the awareness of the reality of who is speaking right here. One that has been raised with Jesus to sit far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. I grew up in panty-waisted Christianity, I guess I'd say it. I don't know if you know what I mean. I mean, we all had the backbone of thoroughly as strong as a wet spaghetti noodle. You know? The devil chased our minds around, chased our lives around, chased our bodies around. Seemed to do whatever he wanted. We were praying to God, Lord, if it be thy will, stop him. We didn't know a thing. We didn't know a thing. And that turned me off. I'll be honest, it turned me off. I thought, I'm looking for something that's real. Something that's got some power to it. Something that's got some authority to it. Well, when I started hearing the sound of the authority, the message of the authority of the believer, it had a different sound to it. Oh, hallelujah. It had a sound I hadn't heard. I want to hear that some more. I want to hear. And I started sitting under it, and it started changing me. And my life is so far beyond where I ever dreamed it could be. I'll tell you, the main area I'm talking about right now is peace in my mind. So far beyond where I ever thought it could be. I didn't think I'd ever be free from the torment of my mind. Back then, I didn't know anything. But I started finding out. Oof. And I'm living in peace. I can sleep. I mean, thank God. Peace. Hallelujah.